This episode is brought to you in partnership with Life Kitchens. Life create kitchens to be lived in, planned around your life and the way you live it. Explore their unique ranges and book a design consultation for a personal and practical approach to kitchens. Visit life-kitchens.co.uk.
By dressing it up, it is an incredibly comfortable house and it's a very welcoming house. There's masses of light. The windows are very big and we have incredible
lots of
views.
Places to sit, aren't there?
And
in
lots
the public
of
areas. You know, in a Georgian house, you have a rectangle, but here you have a thing with a sort of little window.
Nooks and crannies.
Nooks and crannies.
Yes.
Which is very good for a hotel because you're divided into groups anyway.
Yes. You know. Hello, I'm Carol Annett from Country and Townhouse magazine. Welcome to the House Guest podcast, where I chat with experts from the world of interior design and decoration, the people behind the houses, hotels, shops and brands you see in glossy magazines like ours. And if you're doing up your own home, hopefully you'll pick up some tips for yourself. Today I am sitting in the glorious surroundings of Hambleton Hall on the edge of Rutland Water. It's been decorated with classic good taste by Steffa Hart, who along with husband Tim has owned and run Hambleton Hall for 40 years. So welcome Steffa and Tim. And we're actually sitting together around a table. It's delightful.
Isn't it nice without any masks on?
Exactly, it's wonderful. And I have to own up, I love Rutland. I mean, it's such a charming little county, but I'm fascinated by how, because Hambleton Hall is now celebrating 40 years, which is a fantastic achievement. But tell me about how you two ended up here and about the history of the hotel.
I would say that we ended up here because when I was 30, I'd spent 10 years in the city and I'd had enough of it. And I was trying to think of a way of earning my living in the countryside. And one day, a friend said that they were looking to buy a big house, which nobody wanted. Would I come and have a look at it? And I came to have a look at it. And Hambleton Hall is possibly not a very distinguished Victorian house, but it has a fantastic setting, which was glamorized by the creation of Rutland Water in 1976. And I was there in 79, and I thought, good heavens, I could make this place into a wonderful small country hotel with wonderful food.
But you had no background as a hotelier?
No.
So you just kind of thought it might be quite a nice idea?
I'm afraid it was as amateur as that.
And Steffa, were you horrified by this thought?
I certainly was, because I could see the difficulties of running a hotel. Because it's like running home, but magnified several times over, and with people objecting to the way you run it. And I could see all the problems that we would face. But Timmy was absolutely determined. Whatever I said, he was determined to do it. So once I knew it was a fait accompli, I supported him, and we had enormous amount of fun learning about hotels. And we decided that Relish Chateau was the sort of hotel we wanted to be. And in England at the time, there were about 10 or 11 Relish Chateau hotels dotted around the country. And they were all individuals, but everyone was different. They were all run and owned by individuals. And we had enormous amount of fun going around the countryside. We declared what our intentions were, and everybody was very helpful.
So you basically stayed in different hotels and took the essence of what you liked from each of those?
Absolutely. Well, we never slept in the same bed.
Maybe the beds and sort of the practical details. We had our own ideas, or I think, didn't we, about the look, but we needed to know, you know, do you have a cupboard for housekeepers? And where do they... you keep the china and the silver, all those service areas and that sort of thing.
But there was the practicality.
And the practicalities
as well.
Yeah.
You know, how many pillows on the bed, how many blankets, how many towels in the bathroom, how many face towels, you know, what size soaps, all those sort of things, which were very important. The size of the bed. every bed was measured. I could walk into a room and I could tell exactly what the size was after the fourth hotel. And every bed was stripped to see how it was made, who made the bed, what height it was, and all these things. And then we wrote down all our comments. And there was one hotel where we arrived in the room. We had the last room in the house, and it was overlooking the dustbins. And in order to get into the room, we had to open the door, jump on the bed, get the luggage in, then shut the door, and then sort of, you know, maneuver around. And the dressing table was just covered in objects, little China dolls, little this or this or that, the other. There was nowhere for my hairbrush. There was nowhere to put anything. So that really went down as a no-no. You know, that it's so important when somebody goes into a room that they can make it their own. It's very important that they got somewhere to put their belongings and that it's easy to use. So that was a very good lesson. And I said to him, this is a terrible, terrible hotel. And we went down to dinner and we were met by the host, who was simply gorgeous and wonderful. And by the end of dinner, we were completely in love with the place. And we didn't mind at all that there was nowhere to put our belongings. And we left the next day, thinking it was one of the nicest hotels we'd ever been in.
That's a brilliant story. And actually that, you know, having been at Hamilton Hall for half a day so far, but it's really that from the very moment that you walk in, it's the smile and the courtesy and the way that you're dealt with, which is such an enormous part of, you know, that's what makes or breaks, really. It doesn't matter how beautiful it is, your
tremendously
room.
Tremendously important, isn't it?
Yeah, yes. Incredibly. And what about the interiors? Because you had rather, you're a very accomplished decorator yourself, but you had rather a special decorator in the beginning to help you with the interiors. Yes.
Well, at the beginning, I'd lived with Nina Campbell for a year, and I was terribly impressed by her and her style and her work, and she's...
You must have had the chicest little place in... Were you in London, presumably?
Yes, it was a flat in London. And in fact, I went to live with her because I had nowhere else to live. My parents had suddenly sold the house. I'd been in India, came back with nowhere to live. And I lived in her husband's dressing room. And fortunately, he was just about the most stylish person, dresser in England. But I loved her decoration. And I thought she was incredibly stylish. So when Timmy proposed that I should decorate the hotel, I said, absolutely not. You know, this is a business that you're opening. You can't have an amateur decorating the hotel. We must now really, why didn't we ask Nina? And Nina very sweetly came and helped us. And I was the client and she was the professional. And of course, I learned enormous amount from her. So after she'd finished the initial work here, I then continued. And through that, I started my own business.
But Tim, you've never actually lived here.
No, Steffa was very keen that with two small children, we should not live in the hotel. She was keen that we should avoid the situation where the kids are flicking their fingers and ordering Coca-Colas. And she wanted to have her own table where we had our own dinner. I think she was right. It's very practical to live in the hotel in some ways, but you miss out on that creation of home, which to Steffa was, you know, the central aim of her married life.
And it's not a very big place. I mean, is it 17 or 18 bedrooms you have here?
That's been a big plus for us. Because there was a time when the idea of making your hotel available for corporate use seemed to be a very good thing. But we were never big enough to do that well, nor are we for weddings. And the fact that throughout our development, we've been the place which private individuals go for their recreation, that's our business. And we've never really embraced any other business. It saved us because at the time when weddings, corporate events, car launches became perhaps the most profitable part of country house hotel business. We never did it, but as soon as you go down that route, you drive away the private client.
Mm. And you've always avoided having a spa, you've got a lovely little pool outside.
Yes.
But it's charming.
The spa was another one because it was very fashionable. amongst all our competitors to have a spa. And I'm as keen as anyone else on a wonderful spa. But with 17 rooms, you can't really do a wonderful spa.
Yeah.
You want 40 rooms. And so my spa is the bakery.
But I think that the thing is we felt that there was a lot of recreation to be had, which is going for walks, going for bicycle rides.
Outdoors.
And outdoors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that it was a shame to come to the countryside and spend your time indoors.
In a cellar.
Peddling a bicycle inside and
being
looking out of the window.
Yeah.
Here, here.
I think that that's why.
So, Steffa, tell us a little bit more about the bakery and how that developed, because you have one bakery almost next door, and then there's a few more now. It's grown rather.
Well, it started off because we couldn't get any good bread for Hambledon. And so the sous chef, who comes from a family of bakers, I mean, I think he's the 11th baker, he said he would try and make bread at Hambledon. And he bought special ovens and he did all sorts of things. But the bread was never quite what anybody wanted. You know, it wasn't quite as good as we hoped. And one day he turned around to him and he said, you know, I feel my calling is to follow my parents' footsteps and become a baker. And so Timmy said, well, I will help you with that and we'll go into partnership. And they became business partners and opened up the bakery at Exton. And the idea was really to make bread for Hambledon and for our hotel and restaurant in Nottingham, Hearts Hotel. But in fact, very soon, and it was part of the business that Timmy hadn't envisaged, it grew and grew and grew, where a lot of wholesalers came and wanted to buy our bread for their restaurant, their cafe, their shop, whatever it was. And then Timmy started up opening up shops. So I think now you've got 6 shops.
Tim's putting up his fingers. How many is it?
Six.
6
shops. I knew it was 6.
Yeah. Tim, tell me a bit more about the food, because it must have changed over the years. From what did you start with? Did you always know that the food was going to be an important part of the hotel?
Yes, I was mad keen to have a very strong food offer. So we were inspired by France. The model in France was an old house with a really good chef. And by some miracle, we were introduced to a young Englishman called Nicholas Gill, who was A.A. Gill's brother, who started us off. And Nicholas was only 21. He had spent the previous 3 years at 3 great Paris restaurants, one of which was Maxime's, the last, and he wanted to come back to England. So I said, right, he'll be our head chef. Well, he was hopelessly unqualified to be the head chef, but he was a wonderful cook,
Absolutely brilliant.
And the style of food that he produced was not quite what I had in mind.
What was he doing?
He was very exuberant.
All right.
And he was presentationally astonishing. But everything he did tasted delicious as well. He had quite classic combinations. He wasn't a wacky combinations man.
But it was a presentation.
Always exuberant presentation. So that, which actually was brilliant, because the guys from around here who came along, who didn't actually notice that it tasted wonderful, you know, they weren't patient enough or educated enough, perhaps, as palates. They immediately got the presentation. They thought, ooh, this is special. Particularly the women, of course. You know, they weren't being overfaced like they were in the local restaurants then, with huge mountain of vegetables and meat. They had a delicate sort of offering, which looked gorgeous.
Yes, I mean, some people did. They sort of said, oh, I much prefer steak and chips. Well, you need to go somewhere else. Nicholas was a really, really good chef and hugely imaginative.
So he started us off and started our sort of style, and our style's evolved, but it hasn't evolved that much. Again, you like the decoration. We slightly stick to our what we believe in.
And was food a big part of your upbringing?
Yes, I was a greedy brute when I was small. And I was lucky enough to have very good food at home. And my dad, you know, owned a couple of restaurants, which he took me to when I was 8, you know, and then we'd go on foreign holidays and have wonderful food. So my idea of heaven was sort of wonderful food in a nice place in the country.
Yeah. And what I love also is you have so many beautiful different wallpapers, all quite a lot with a fern or birds, or, you know, it's that kind of, it's very much an English country look. So you've moved it on from Nina now. Presumably there's little of what she did originally.
Yes, there's very little. What remains of her is really the bar.
I'm sure she'd be delighted to know she's still in the bar.
she came the other day to stay, and we're not at Hambledon because we weren't open. The hotel wasn't open, but we came for lunch. And the bar is more or less the same. It's changed a bit, but not really, not that much. But otherwise, the rooms have changed, because I think that we've all evolved. Our tastes have changed. Well, it's 1979 and 80. Decoration was very fussy. You know, we all loved putting lots of frills and tassels and fringes and ribbons and all that sort of thing. And although hers was restrained, because she'd worked at Colfax and Fowler, so she was very upmarket in her taste. It was very, very good. But things have changed from then. And I think there's, I've learned from her about sort of elegance, and I do like the sense of elegance. And I think it suits the hotel, because it's physically, it's not a beautiful building. But I think that by dressing it up, it is an incredibly comfortable house, and it's a very welcoming house. There's masses of light. The windows are very big, and we have incredible
lots of
views.
Places to sit, aren't there?
And
in
lots
the public
of
areas. You know, in a Georgian house, you have a rectangle. But here you have a thing with a sort of little window.
Nooks and crannies.
Nooks and crannies.
Yes.
Which is very good for a hotel, because you're divided into groups anyway.
Yes. You know? Actually, yes. Just wandering around today, I've seen people in sort of sitting with a book, or quietly playing on their phone.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
This. And, and even though it's not a particularly nice day, there was a chap outside by the swimming pool, you know, with his book. And,
marvellous.
Yeah, and a blanket and stuff. It's just lovely. And what about the gardens, Tim? Because I understand they're close to your heart.
Well, I think it's quite common, isn't it, for people to get into gardening as they get older. You know, and I was a bit impatient when I started for gardening. But gradually the gardens evolved. And we had a marvellous guy called Neil Hewitson who designed our parterre. And one day I asked Neil for some advice about annual plants for our pots and for the border where we wanted to plant some annuals. And he said he didn't do annuals. And that was a biggest favourite he ever did me, because I had to sort of work it out for myself. So I did the annuals, you know. So that was a sort of beginning of a sort of love affair with gardening. And what's really fired it up is that Steffa's in charge at home. We have a lovely garden. And I'm in charge here. So, you know, we have
perfect.
A wonderful sort of competitive and cooperative relationship on gardening. And I've got one or two advantages, and she's got one or two, but I've got, you know, it's very south-facing here on a slope. And so we've got our bit I call the Mediterranean border, which is, you know, it's Mediterranean, and there's no particular spot to do that at home, for example. So I'm able to play around with that and have fun, have a look at that tomorrow.
And then you've got that idyllic view looking out over the water. I mean, sitting on the terrace with the banks of lavender and the flowers in front of you, and then you look ahead towards the view, and it's very, very special.
Yes.
So what about the next 40 years? What are the plans for the future?
Oh, well, I've killed my dentist and my doctor. I'm living until I'm 95. And they better keep me going.
Well, there's this constant challenge of, you know, we benefited over the last 40 from, it's a huge advantage to have been around, you know, the collection of good people, the improvement of the garden, the improvement of the rooms, the improvement.
You're just hitting your stride, really, aren't you?
Of the kitchen, exactly.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a real advantage. Yes. We don't feel stale. We just feel getting a bit better at it, you know.
Yeah.
So
yes, when we first sort of started,
more
know,
of the
we
same,
would be always sort of, you know, we were, obviously we didn't have that much money, because the whole thing costs such a lot. But you know, now Timmy understands that if I put fabric on the walls in a bedroom, it's actually for a very good reason. It gives a very nice, I know the room you're staying in, it's got wallpaper, but a lot of the bedrooms now have fabric on the walls, because I find that it has a very nice feeling when you walk in. The sound, it's very soft, you know, and it's quiet, and it's just really lovely. And we also find that it's incredibly practical.
Yes.
It lasts much longer than wallpaper.
Is that right?
And certainly much longer than paint.
Yeah.
So the dining room, the main dining room, I think I put that fabric on the wall probably about 12 years ago.
Do you know the name of the fabric?
It was from Pierre Frey, and I can't remember its name. I had it stamped.
Yeah.
It's with a hot iron. They press the design on it.
Is it really? Gaufrage?
And it's Gaufrage.
Yeah. Gaufrage.
Wow, how lovely.
And
so you certainly weren't stinting.
Certainly not stinting. And yeah. The fabric in the smaller dining room is one, I think, that...
But as long as you're not a slave to fashion, you've got 12 years, actually, so you can afford to do things well.
The bedroom that you're in, Middlehurst, it's a wallpaper that I'm very, very fond of, and it's by Brunswick and Fees. But the original is in a castle in France, where I spent a lot of time in my sort of early 20s, staying there, and they had this beautiful room with Chinese paper that the Chinaman had come over in the 17th century. And there it was 200 years later, it's still up.
Well, I think that's wonderful. And I'm just about to go and enjoy trying your food thoroughly looking forward to it. So Tim and Steph, thank you so much for your hospitality. It's been really lovely.
Pleasure
to
meet you.
Thanks for listening to House Guest from Country and Townhouse magazine with me, Carol Annett. Don't forget to subscribe to the series on iTunes. In the meantime, you can follow me on Instagram at Carol W. Annett, and keep up to date on all the podcast news and show notes online at countryandtownhouse.co.uk/podcast. Hambleton Hall also features majestically on the front cover of our brand new hotels guide. And this weekend, the July House Guest newsletter is out, with the ultimate guide to kitchen design sponsored by AGA. Go to the Country and Townhouse website to sign up to both.